Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, June 25th, 2020. And I'll come back to the war discussion because I think it's critically important. You know, in simple terms, we have institutionalized war, and that I think is most unfortunate. I think it's also interesting, just as a as an aside, one of the things I've been thinking about lately is, you know, jiu-jitsu and Brazilian jiu-jitsu in particular is something that has become wildly popular. That was started by a judoka, a Kodokan judoka, who visited a Brazilian family and basically as a gift to them for their kindness and hospitality, he taught them Kodokan Judo, which is the purest form of judo that and the best, I would argue, that you can find. It is different. There are the keys that unlock the moves, as Sensei Pat Bergen used to say. And so there is a difference, but and the key to judo is kind of the gentle way. It's the, you know, understanding the principles of fulcrum and leverage and being able to use the principles of physics to not incapacitate, but to sort of neutralize the force of your opponent, which is similar to what Morihei Ueshiba did with Aikido. And I think that these are complex principles that most people don't understand. It takes a great deal of time and study to arrive at the place that they arrived. But I think it's interesting. You know, these guys distilled thousands of years of warrior ethos and training and practice in arts like jiu-jitsu and kendo, for example, and found a way, they created ways to train and practice and maintain their skill set without hurting one another in training, because jiu-jitsu historically is a military form of hand-to-hand combat. You know, you train to kill your opponent, to maim and to kill. And so judo was a form of jiu-jitsu that stopped just short of the bone breaking and the, you know, the maiming and killing. Aikido is similar in that sense. But I think what's interesting now, after this rise in popularity and this, you know, so-called warrior ethos that has risen to prominence in recent years and decades, there's this return now back to things. You know, for thousands of years this was practiced, and I think we got to a level of civilization and sophistication around the turn of the 20th century. And again, this is why for a million years I've had on the Road Warrior Radio Facebook page that image of Jacques Ellul saying, because of the myth of progress, it is easier to sell a man an electric razor than a straight-edged one. When you understand that, what was I just thinking about yesterday? Nikola Tesla, you know, was talking, he was in an interview before the turn of the 20th century, I think it was about 1893, during an interview, he said, you know, because of the way that the mind works and so forth, you should be able to take pictures of what people are thinking. You should be able to record or photograph the image reflected of what people are thinking. That was more than 100 years ago. So, you know, because of the myth of progress, it's easier to sell a man an electric razor than a straight edge one. So you start thinking about these kinds of things. And, you know, we've had this warrior ethos in America, particularly since the National Security Act of 1947 institutionalized the War Department, the Department of Offense or Defense, as it's commonly referred to erroneously. It doesn't offend anything. It offends everywhere it goes. No offense to those in service. But, you know, it's the foreign policy folks who direct that sort of thing. Anyway, I think it's interesting that we've now transitioned back. I think it's regressive is what I'm saying. You know, to see what Jigoro Kano did with judo back before the turn of the 20th century to distill jiu-jitsu and kendo and many other things. A brilliant man who had 2 degrees by the time most people enter college these days, had mastered these arts, and then out of that created this gentle way to allow them to practice that was so useful and effective that it became kind of like Japanese baseball. It was the national pastime of a nation. That's quite a statement, I think, particularly for a people like that. And now we've seen a transition the other direction. We've seen a transition to, I would say, a regression to barbarism under the specious guise of sophistication. It's not sophisticated. So as many folks have pointed out, you know, when you devolve to that, it's unsophisticated. And the founders, you know, like John Adams, Patrick Henry, and others talked about how important it was for them to study these kinds of things so that their children didn't have to. Enough on that. Let's go to the phones. Tom in Florida, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, good day to you. Good afternoon, Chris. Another great art form was Bruce Lee's Jet Dundu, which is Wing Chun, another great art martial art form. Listen, what I just saw on TV, Chris, is very perplexing. For 35 years, these universities and these colleges have 90% of all the professors are ultra-liberal, not Lewinsky types. 90% of all the professors in these universities are Sal Lewinsky, rules for radical type professors. Now, that's disgusting and disgraceful since the white Anglos are the majority in the country and they have allowed their children to be brainwashed with all this nonsensical liberalism. And what I'm also seeing, Chris, right now, they're getting ready to rip down the Lincoln statue in Washington. Now Trump has called out the National Guard because he's not going to allow it to happen, but all these protesters want to take down Lincoln's memorial, which I find utterly absurd, since he's the one that gave them an emancipation. You know what, Chris, right now...
Not only that, but as certain people have pointed out, you know, that's to destroy the cultural landmark on which, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. gave his I Have a Dream speech, for example, seems counterproductive.
Well, Chris, Martin Luther King was supposedly an admitted rapist. He was supposedly by the FBI, he was a communist sympathizer. And this guy, of all the statues I see, he's the only one I guess that's got rape charges pending against him, whatever. I don't know whatever happened with that.
Well, we had this conversation. Just to, as a brief aside, I don't want to sidetrack you.
Yeah, I understand.
When you look at the background of Martin Luther King, for example, Martin Luther King Jr., his father, you know, being a Mason, and people aligning themselves with power, basically, when you see how Martin Luther King Jr. was groomed in the same sort of fashion that Malcolm X was groomed. You know, they watched Malcolm X when he was in prison. And I think that what happened was there were certain stories that were embellished, to say the least, that just as reading from Hitchcock's Synagogue of Satan, talking about the way that this mafia-style ethos tries to rule the people by compromising folks. You know, I think that's what happened. I think these embellished stories were used to control folks like Martin Luther King Jr., that is, and Malcolm X, and they got to a point, like I've said before, you know, I think Malcolm X got to a point where he said, you know, I'm not going to, he became disillusioned with the whole, you know, he became disillusioned with the not so honorable Elijah Muhammad, for one, and the whole movement. Then, of course, you know, he was disillusioned because of this guy who was leading something that, you know, this guy is a fraud. So what does that say about them? So I think he was doing his own evaluation. He was sort of breaking through this glass ceiling of control, and his background was such that with the things that he'd done in his past combined with the embellished stories, I think his handlers were trying to control him with that. And he basically said, no, he didn't sound as much of a, you know, agent provocateur in those last few months before he passed away. Martin Luther King Jr., same thing after his Beyond Vietnam speech. You know, he had a very different tone. He didn't sound like a provocateur. There wasn't the race baiting or, you know, that kind of latent hostility that you could hear in some of the speeches that they'd given previously. And because they were a voice for unity, I think that's what ultimately got him killed. They were rising above and breaking through that balkanizing rhetoric.
Well, let me ask you, Chris. One of Malcolm X's followers, a black guy, shot him, killed him. Correct?
That's my understanding. Yeah.
It wasn't a white man who killed Malcolm X. It was a black man. Correct?
Right.
But I think that, yeah. Okay. I just want to clear that up. Also, I want to clear this. This is not right now on Business Fox. They just showed 9 out of 10 Afro-Americans are going to vote for Biden. So to me, that's being racist. No matter what Donald Trump or Republicans,
what kind of stock
do
can we put in those?
They're going to vote Democrat, Chris.
Just because the mainstream press reports it doesn't mean that it's accurate.
I understand, but I still say that 80-90% of the Afro-Americans are going to still vote Democrat, no matter what you do for them, Chris.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. You know, Tom, I definitely understand why you would say that, but I'm, you know, one of the things that I've seen a lot throughout social media, regardless of platform, is that people, you know, if I had to judge based on the comments that I've read, I would say that people are much more astute and aware of what's actually going on than, I mean, it's a completely different depiction, quite frankly, from what you hear, like those kinds of talking points on the mainstream, you know, whatever platform, and what you see in the comments on social media, for example, sounds entirely different. And we've played some of that. I mean, the Hodge twins, for example, are wildly popular. You have a number of these folks that I think are sort of reinvigorating the intellectual sophistication of folks like Walter Williams and Thomas Sowell and others. So that, I think, is very – well, yeah, she's obviously one of those folks that I'm referring to, you know, that's reinvigorating. She's referred to those two gentlemen, among others. But we would all do well to read Thomas Sowell. I mean, he's – to me, he's kind of a Roy Rogers or a Will Rogers.
I used to listen to him on the radio. He was on the radio a few times. I listened to Thomas Sowell.
He's
brilliant. You know, Chris, I still say, though, you know, all these blacks are like Candace Owens or Thomas Sowell. They're, to the black majority of the community who's run by demon rat Bolsheviks, they're Uncle Toms. They're all considered Uncle Toms. They're like Larry Elder says, no matter what you do for them, like the reparations, 99, like Larry Elder said the other day, 99% of the white Anglos in this country never had nothing to do with slavery, but they're still demanding $14 trillion, Chris. No matter what you've done for them, hundreds of thousands of white males killing each other, they have them to get freedom, the North and the South. And like I told Michael's show, you know, the South went back, the men that fought for the South went back to the South part of the United States. The Northern Yankee men went back to the Northern part. And they both sides put up their own monuments. That's just the way it was. The Yankees didn't control the South. They won the war in Washington, but they didn't win the war against the Southern men because the Southern men left back to the South, and the Northern men went back to the North. They didn't want to live amongst each other with their ideology, I understand, back in 1865. But nobody really won that war as far as the landmass, because the Southern men still came south, and the Northern men went back to the North, and they built their own monuments and their own cultural way of looking at the war. So, you know, all this nonsense with reparations and all this crap we're hearing, I mean, these Afro-Americans got better jobs, they got more rights, it seems like, than white people with affirmative action.
Have you watched some of the stuff the Hodge twins have put out lately?
Chris, no, I haven't.
Maybe go watch some of the. It's very disarming because they use humor, but they're talking about the absurdity of these kinds of things. I think more. You know, the reason I mentioned the comments in social media is because I think my impression is, by and large, and again, I'm just one guy, and it's one small, tiny little drop of a cross section in the ocean of people and comments and things. But my impression overall is what the mainstream media reports is provocateurism that is basically, I would say, sort of reinforcing or amplifying the Soros contingent of you know, Asian provocateurism to get those people stirred up who will be stirred up. And that seems overwhelming because there's, you know, such a large platform to do it. But then when you go look on social media and you see the actual comments and things, my impression is entirely different. And I think these people who are making the comments range in different degrees of intellectual awareness to these kinds of things, but generally speaking, I think they're more aware of the game that's afoot being played on us all than the mainstream media would ever want us to think or realize. And most people are more knowledged up than you know, we're given credit.
Chris, can I ask you something that's been weighing on my mind very heavily? Could you imagine? Just imagine this, Chris. Imagine this. Like you said, I believe it was yesterday. If you had a guy that was a multi-billionaire, say worth $8 to $25 billion, who was a very we'll use T-Bone Pickens if he was still alive, and he would unleash $10 billion for a righteous group to do what the left is doing as far as immigration with illegal aliens coming to the United States, murdering. This is the figure, Chris. 5,896 Americans have been murdered in the last 5 years by illegal aliens through DUI, knife wounds, shootings, all kinds of insanity. And this is Americans, black and white Americans, getting murdered by illegal aliens. Could you imagine if some guy were to put out that kind of billions of dollars like Soros and demand that we have riding on the right about illegal immigration with sanctuary cities, allowing all these groups to come start saying they can claim the southwest part of the United States? Can you imagine if that ever goes down, Chris?
Well, that's
the white angles are being hammered from all sides.
I think that's somewhat of a misnomer. People in America we're all being hammered from all sides. I think
we're definitely being hammered.
Different demographics are aware of it in different ways, but I think we're all being hammered. So anyway. We're going to have to grab other calls, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
Much appreciated, as always. Thank you. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars, built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Before we go back to the phones, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I think of Thomas Sowell and Will Rogers. They're plain speaking common sense in a very similar light. And so here's an example from Will Rogers' nationally syndicated weekly article, as it was known, the article number 31, titled A Few Shots of Scopolamine, which was published July 15, 1923. He wrote, "See, they conducted experiments on convicts. I don't know on what grounds they reason a man in jail is a bigger liar than one out of jail. The chances are telling the truth is what got him there. It would be a big aid to humanity, but it will never be, for already the politicians are up in arms against it. It would wreck the very foundation on which our political government is run. If you ever injected truth into politics, you'd have no politics. Even the ministers are denouncing it now. Humanity is not yet ready for either real truth or real harmony." It's Will Rogers, 1923. And Thomas Sowell, back in 2016, I think it was November of 2016, published his Random Thoughts that you can still find. And so here are a few excerpts from his Random Thoughts that I thought were provocative and applicable under the circumstances today. Just a few. So he wrote, "If the media seriously wanted to report the news instead of spinning it, they could stop calling rioters protesters and stop calling terrorists militants." This is 2016, remember. So I think it's apropos today. Continuing, he wrote, "Have we reached the ultimate stage of absurdity where some people are held responsible for things that happened before they were born, while other people are not held responsible for what they themselves are doing today?" This is, you know, that one in particular I've seen floating around on social media. And last but not least, he wrote, "The monumental tragedies of the 20th century, a worldwide Great Depression, two devastating world wars, the Holocaust, famines killing millions in the Soviet Union and tens of millions in China, should leave us with a sobering sense of the threats to any society. But this generation's ignorance of history leaves them free to be frivolous until the next catastrophe strikes and catches them completely by surprise." And I think those excerpts from his random thoughts are very befitting to today's current events, if you will. So back to the phones. Tom, let's see. Richard in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
As always, your analysis is great. Your response to Tom, I thought, was really outstanding. Tom seems to spout the mind control mantra of the media without really trying to go and understand what the media is trying to do with that mantra. So I'm a little confused about his purpose. But I was impressed with you mentioning Tesla. Basically, 5G is nothing more than a diabolical weaponizing of the ionosphere, which is what Tesla was all about.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the history. That's my really concern. When you go back and you trace out the history, basically they never revoked the Libor Code. They instituted in 1954 social engineering and silent weapons for quiet wars, and that's been used continuously on the public. So that's a military operation and not anything more than the use of mind control with a military purpose. When you hear Lark speak about communitarianism, you realize that this is an ongoing act of reprogramming the people. And what really happens is this is a better word, communitarianism, than communism. It gets more sympathy, but in actuality, that's really what's happening. We're just following in the tails of Russia and China, and it's taken a longer period of time because we have a trend of liberty going for us, but we're rapidly losing that.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of the Libor Code, and, you know, again, this all sort of dovetails into the war and conflict and Marxism theme. You know, it's from everything you said, speaking of the Libor Code, this is why many establishment historians talk about the sort of American epics that we've gone through. And, you know, you have the American Revolutionary epic. From about 1761 to 1865 is where they draw that line after the conclusion of the War of Eastern European Banking Aggression, or the what's known as the American Civil War. And from there, you know, the Libor Code remains, as you pointed out, and you have the Reconstruction Era. And as I pointed out, you know, FM 3-07, the Army Stability Operations Manual, tells us about, you know, how that all worked, and so on and so on. Anyway, stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio. Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Bottom of the second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, June 25th, 2020. Interesting history. We could go on and on, Richard, definitely. I'm sure that you and I could have a great discussion about that.
Well, one last thing is we don't realize how far back it goes. I happen to take Latin in high school and college, and with that background, what the Romans did is they had continuous war, just like we're having now.
Right.
They divided and controlled, and they used bread and circus, only it's even worse now because they've re-engineered the grains so that they have lower protein and higher carbohydrates, and that keeps us in sympathetic along with the continuous war mantra. And we're just being so inundated with this mind control perspective that it just is overwhelming without us even recognizing it.
Absolutely. And there were, those guys that created the Constitutional Republic warned us about that stuff. Guys like James Madison were very outspoken about exactly what you just said. And as far as the food is concerned, I always think of Bertrand Russell on the impact of science on society back in 1952, diet injections and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and sort of beliefs the authorities deem desirable, and any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. And again, you think of Jacques Ellul's quote and how, you know, in Solomon's words, there's nothing new under the sun. These things, these people had worked out a long time ago. William Gates Sr. wrote, you know, that every time they turn a corner at the Gates Foundation on health, they see that the Rockefeller Foundation has been there and for years, is what he wrote. But, you know, I think of the people who are calling for, you know, the little guys on the Rice Krispie box to go away, and they're not calling for the disbanding of the Kellogg fortune, and they haven't heard anybody talk about the Race Betterment Society and Foundation and the conferences and all of those efforts that continue on today. And again, if we would just all maybe, you know, start to come together and share some research with one another, maybe we would arrive at Francis Fukuyama's posthuman future together and realize that genetic engineering is the future and advancement of eugenics. And I think we'd all be, you know, it'd be a better world if we all maybe shared some information with one another.
Well, that's it. And do a little reading. I mean, do 1984, do Brave New World, and follow that with the Hunger Games. And
yeah,
there's a prediction of the future right in front of you. I mean, it can't be beat. Anyway, I'll let you go to other callers. And as always, great show.
Thanks, Richard. Much appreciated. Yeah. Really, you know, again, I mean, that was the whole point of the war theme, and what Richard said, you know, that's exactly what James Madison, you know, in my estimation, the way Richard put it is a distillation or a paraphrasing almost of the way James Madison warned us about this perpetual state of war, and he was not the only one. And that was kind of the point. So that has a, you know, there are implications, there are consequences to that. And we have institutionalized that practice. And you go back and you look at, you know, again, that history coming out of the Civil War, you know, stability operations that have been also institutionalized in the last 170 years now. And the things that, you know, Norman Dodd's intimations, for example, to G. Edward Griffin back in the, what was it, 1982 interview, where he said these folks at a high placed New York bank, a Morgan bank, told him, "We are working to change life in America so that we will never return to pre-1914 America." In other words, we have institutionalized conflict and we have created and introduced a perpetual irreconcilable conflict into the American way of life and society. So if we all got together and we all started to understand that and maybe, again, reverse engineer and deconstruct that, man, I'm telling you, life in America could be amazing. I really believe that the American people are much more powerful than they're given credit and realize. Anyway, back to the phones. Ken in New York, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. My comment's a little more mundane. It was an excellent call. And a while ago, you were talking about the ratio of oxygen and nitrogen. I seem to remember when I went to school, which would be in the 60s, mid to late 60s, that it was 22% and 78% nitrogen. And that, to think that that small difference between what it is now, it seems like each decade it's getting to be less and less.
Yeah.
And you're saying that 19% is bad news now.
19.5 is what OSHA says is a minimum required for a confined space.
And what is the ratio today that you quoted earlier? Did you quote it earlier?
Well, we played the clip of the gentleman who was testing the mask, but I am not sure that I quoted the ratio I just mentioned, the oxygen concentration level that OSHA deems safe.
It's like they're 1 point above what they deem, you know, the trouble area where you start to have problems.
Yeah, and I agree. Well, it's like so many other things, you know. I mean, I guess this is what you can expect when you get a governing body involved. But yeah, this is another little bit of information that, you know, how many people have ever actually chased out. I recall similar, you know, from my days in school through the 80s. And the, you know, as I recall, the numbers were higher also. So like you said, basically what OSHA is saying is it's about 1% below what is actually probably healthy and should be allowed. And that is not, that's not a linear diminution. That, you know, that is orders of magnitude less, that 1%.
And I seem to remember that earlier, a longer time ago, the concentration was higher. It's been getting steadily less and less. Mm-hmm. And these people that want to kill off the carbon dioxide, which, you know, would feeds the circle of life. This
right.
is clearly an attempt to get rid of us.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have, you know, with the automobiles, I think locally is the pollution. There is pollution. I don't think it's
sure.
destroying the entire world, but, in your own area, I think the real problem is carbon monoxide. Nobody ever talks about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'll give you another example of something that I did. Was about 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to buy an oxygen concentrator because I thought it would be a good investment in the future. Well, now I think it does. I mean, I've had diabetes for quite a while, and I just thought it would be a good thing. And I paid a little extra money to get an oxygen sensor put in. And it guarantees 92% pure.
Wow.
But it does feel good after you, you know, I think they used to have oxygen bars for a while. There was a trend, you know, a trend for that sort of thing years ago.
Well, there's been a resurgence in that. And in recent years, you know, they call them hookah lounges largely.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Just one more thing. Earlier you were talking about, you were trying to search for a phrase when you were talking about your fact-checking. The one that mm-hmm. came to my mind was just my catch-all phrase. It was just a con job.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Much appreciated.
Right.
I guess we lost John. If we get John back, we'll go to John. In the meantime... Yeah, you know, again, back to speaking of what Ken just mentioned and, you know, kind of the conversation with Tom earlier, I really, my general perspective is that people, I feel like there's a shift happening, and you can see it even in the sequestering, the attempts to sequester the truth and good information, folks trying to inform one another. I see, you know, lots of really interesting and what I would generally categorize as great things happening, which I see as signs of encouragement. We are, you know, I've mentioned Pike's letter to Mazzini many times, the Third World War in particular, unleashing the nihilists and the atheists, provoking a formidable social cataclysm, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. And basically what you see in this conditioned response, this Pavlovian, you know, Skinner box kind of society that's been engineered is reactionary movement after reactionary movement. And that's a kind of a herding of people in game theory fashion, Rand Corporation game theory fashion, getting people to react in ways that they think they're choosing for themselves, even though the choices, so-called, with air quotes, are fed to them at every turn. This is the, you know, you go back and look at guys, you know, Illuminized folks like Arthur Conan Doyle. This is why this whole choose your own simulation or choose your own adventure thing is so popular. I mean, that's kind of the old version of game theory, kind of like communism is, I would say, kind of the old version of the synthesized communitarianism that is reflexive in nature and very, very similar to game theory. You know, you think you're deciding for yourself and this is what's actually happening. And so the other side of that is communitarianism, where in order to fence in the people, you have this reflexive policy that you keep introducing. They're going to try to go over here, and so we gate that side up, we fence that side up, and then they're going to go over here, so we fence that side up, and we erect a chute, and we start herding them down the chute. That's communitarianism, in a sense, I would say, to sort of herd the people. And again, in the final analysis, you know, I think it really always comes down to the question, who decides? And it's an interesting thing when you start, I think, who was it that was, I forget who it was, but, you know, talking, I think it was Tom, you know, talking about these things that are introduced. And, you know, I think of, again, Shaw and Man and Superman, the reasonable man versus the unreasonable man, the juxtaposition of them. I think most Americans, we still have it in our DNA, so to speak. I think most Americans still have it in our DNA that we should all be left alone and leave each other alone, generally speaking. I think there's an inherent sort of latent understanding of the danger of planning. Somehow, some way, I really believe that's kind of native to folks in America for whatever reason. And again, that is not to discount or dismiss in any way our own checkered past with regard to destroying civilizations, even, you know, here on our own shores, so to speak. That is definitely a part of our history, you know, as difficult and ugly as it is to face. But I think that as Americans, we understand the danger of planning. And as I have put it, you know, it's a virus, basically. It's an addiction that feeds on itself. And I think Hayek outlined that very well in The Road to Serfdom. You know, planning leads to execution, literally and figuratively. And so who decides? And you can see how that feeds into, you know, the filling of the power vacuum and so forth. You know, who decides is who is the most powerful, supreme overlord in that kind of a scenario, in simple terms. Someone makes plans, someone else, you know, this person says, well, we don't have a majority to agree to this. The next person says, well, you know, why wait? Let's just execute those plans. Let's just make it happen. They go so far, certain things they're not willing to do. The next person comes in and says, well, let's just do that. Let's just make it happen. And for that matter, the last thing I'll say on that is, you know, the concern, in my humble estimation, even before the 2016 election, is that Donald Trump, in my view, has those latent sort of tendencies. You know, he considers himself the grand poobah. I don't think that you can find anybody who would say that he's just a humble guy by nature. He has a megalomaniacal bent in some ways. He has a cult of personality opinion of himself, the way that he talks about himself and so forth. I think it's been toned down quite a bit in recent months and years, but still, I think the latent tendencies exist. And I think that's why he's the man of the hour in the White House. But I have tremendous faith in the American people, and I see signs of encouragement, at least in my humble estimation. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Mentioned several times John Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law in 1765. You know, people talk about the spirit of 1776. I would, you know, the way I would think of that is the spirit of 1761, because that was when the, you know, The Defense of the Boston Merchants by James Otis, John Adams, saying that this guy was the principal, the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions ever to have occurred among men. That's when suddenly I think that, you know, that American spirit, that ethos, if you will, was sort of crystallized in that 15-year period beginning around 1761. That's my understanding. And it was different than this feudalist system, which I think is sort of distilled in what James Madison wrote in Political Observations back in 1795, which I was reading from earlier. He wrote, "Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded, because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes, and armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few. In war, too," and that in a variety of ways, obviously, "in war, too, the discretionary power of the executive is extended. Its influence," and most people don't even understand what administrative fourth branch is and how it's consolidated powers and functions of the three duly constituted branches unto itself. There's a lot that's been written on that. Again, you know, James P. Hill's The Third House versus the Fourth Branch, published in 1986, is a good read. Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, published in the Harvard Law Review, 1994. R.J. Pistrito's Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From, What It Means for Limited Government, published in 2007 at the Heritage Foundation. Those are good jumping off points. But the discretionary power of the executive has definitely been extended since, you know, 1865, 1871, shall we say, in particular. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied, and all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. The same malignant aspect in republicanism may be traced in the inequality of fortunes and the opportunities of fraud growing out of a state of war, and in the degeneracy of manners and of morals engendered by both. So how are our manners and morals these days? Remember virtue, morality, and religion? The pillars that Patrick Henry talked about. "No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare," James Madison wrote. So where are we today? How are our manners and morals? Are we more sophisticated? Are we better off since we've institutionalized war and we've been in a perpetual state of war? We've been in Afghanistan longer than the American Revolution, the Civil War, World War I, and World War II. How's that working out? Graft, greed, corruption, perhaps. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.